Welcome to the World of Woodhouse, a series of podcasts from the P.G. Woodhouse Society, UK, to commemorate the work of P.G. Woodhouse on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of his death. I'm Alexander Armstrong, and I have the huge privilege of being president of the P.G. Woodhouse Society, UK, a literary society of enthusiasts that celebrates Woodhouse and his work. And it is my delightful duty to introduce the latest guest in this series of podcasts.
Hello, this is Stephen Fry, a long-standing and proud member of the P.G. Woodhouse Society, a patron, and I have loved P.G. Woodhouse since I was 10 years old, which is a very, very long time ago. For my 10th birthday, I was given a copy of Very Good Jeeves, a collection of Jeeves and Worcester short stories by a godmother, and I had never seen anything like it. I was like Keats first reading Chapman's Homer. You know, it was as if a new planet had swum into my ken. It was absolutely transformative for me, and I fell on book after book after book. Thank goodness he'd written so many. I even wrote to him, as a matter of fact, when I was about 14, and got a wonderful letter back with a signed photograph. Gosh, now I think of it, it wasn't long after I got that letter that Woodhouse died, 50 years ago. It was in 1975, and we're now in 2025. And of course, wherever I went, that signed photo and letter were my greatest treasures. I took the signed photograph with me in my trailer, as we call our little caravans in filming, when we started on the series of Jeeves and Worcester adaptations for ITV, which took place in the late 80s, early 90s, I think. Four series, five series? I can't even remember. That's how long ago it was. But I had the honour of playing Jeeves, and my dear friend Hugh Laurie played Bertie Worcester. And we had an amazing time doing it. It was phenomenally lucky to have been given such roles. I don't think we came close to reaching the pinnacle that Woodhouse reaches on the page, but filming is kind of three elements when you're telling a story. There's the narrative itself, the story, the plot. So you've got plot, you've got character, and you've got language. Now, film is very good at plot and character. You can see people doing things and you know, they talk to each other and occasionally the language is great. But in the case of Woodhouse, the plot, the character and the language are all so superbly intermingled in a way that just wouldn't work in a medium like film and television. Anyway, I'm going to read you a short passage. It's from one of his masterpieces, Uncle Fred in the Springtime, which brings together Pongo Twistleton, Hugo Davenport, Colonel Mustard Potts, and the whole menagerie at Blandings, Lady Constance, Lord Emsworth, their very unwelcome guest, the Duke of Dunstable, Alaric, and the amazing figure, Pongo's uncle, who's known as Fred. He's Lord Ickenham, the Earl of Ickenham, and he breeds disaster wherever he goes, but with amiability and charm and fearlessness. And this is just a section, really, which takes you back to the difference for Ickenham's generation and Pongo's generation. Ickenham's generation was Victorian, and Pongo's was sort of developing and growing up Edwardian, pre-war. And so it's discussed through lorgnettes. A lorgnette, L-O-R-G-N-E-T-T-E, is a pair of spectacles on a sort of rod that you put up in front of your face. You know, so not quite just the pince-nez you perch on your nose, but on a sort of rod, as I say, a handle. And those are called lorgnettes. And Victorian women used them a great deal. And so they're a symbol of a kind of Aunt Agatha in the Jeeves and Worcester stories, or indeed of an Aunt Augusta in The Importance of Being Earnest, Lady Bracknell. You know, this kind of formidable bus of a woman, this battleship of a Victorian woman. And Lady Constance is of a slightly younger generation, but she's pretty terrifying too. She's the sister of Lord Emsworth. And anyway, without giving you too much story, they're on a train and they're on their way to Blandings, and Lord Ickenham has to warn Pongo, who is going to pretend to be a member of staff, just exactly what he's up against. And he says, don't blame me if it turns out that Lady Constance takes her lorgnette to you. God bless my soul, though, you can't compare the lorgnettes of today with the ones I used to know as a boy. I remember walking one day in Grosvenor Square with my Aunt Brenda and her pug dog, Jabberwocky, and a policeman came up and said that the latter ought to be wearing a muzzle. My aunt made no verbal reply. She merely whipped her lorgnette from its holster and looked at the man, who gave one choking gasp and fell back against the railings, without a mark on him, but with an awful look of horror in his staring eyes, as if he had seen some dreadful sight. The doctor was sent for, and they managed to bring him round, but he was never the same again. He had to leave the force, and eventually drifted into the grocery business. And that is how Sir Thomas Lipton got his start. Well, that's all it is. It's a short bit, but there's so much Woodhouse in there. For a start, of course, his brilliant parody of a sort of Sherlock Holmes, Edgar Allan Poe horror scene, because once the lorgnette has been raised out of its holster, I mean, that's just alone you'd hug yourself for 2 days. She whipped it out of its holster. This is a Victorian woman. And he fell back with an awful look of horror in his staring eyes, as if he had seen some dreadful sight, without a mark on him. It's like the Hound of the Baskervilles or something like that, isn't it? And it's all because a Victorian woman has looked at someone through her glasses. It's fantastic overstatement, but it's brilliant in the way it brings back the flavour of the age, the strange childish fear of women that men have, particularly in Woodhouse, it has to be said. And, you know, we're not talking about our discourse today, but his own long life. He was brought up by aunts himself, and maybe that's why aunts are so formidable in his works. That's certainly one of the theories Woodhouseians like to pursue. Although his own aunts were apparently quite nice. One of them was a mistress of Girton College. And yes, it's just that mixture of languages he manages to create and to collide together. This, and it is in a sense what perfect writing can do. It doesn't have to be striving to be absolutely modern. I think of it as being like a city. London is full of higgledy-piggledy Elizabethan, Georgian, Victorian, 20th century, 21st century architecture, all mixed up together. Sometimes it's a bit of a crash, but the point is, language can be like that too. Instead of speaking purely in your own discourse, you can ram together lots of different ones. And nobody has ever done that better than Woodhouse. But above all, it makes you laugh. So what am I doing? I'm falling into the terrible trap of talking about why it might be funny. We don't need to decide why it might be funny. It just is. It gives you pleasure to read. And it's much better off the page than where I read it. Go off and read Uncle Fred in the springtime. You won't regret it. And you'll have that smile on your face that, above all, is Woodhouse's great, greatest gift to mankind, his sunniness of disposition. All right, it's been lovely talking to you. Bye-bye.